Okay, we are on page 87 of Steps to Christ on Sabbath Day. This is December 3rd, 2022, first Sabbath of the month. And we're starting on the top of the page, it looks like. Yep, top of the page, where it says, when the love of Christ is enshrined in the heart, like sweet fragrance, it cannot be hidden. Its holy influence will be felt by all with whom we come in contact. The Spirit of Christ is in the heart, or the Spirit of Christ in the heart is like a spring in the desert, flowing to refresh all and making those who are ready to perish eager to drink of the water of life. Oh boy, that's an amazing analogy if you think about it, because they're about to perish. And in the desert, you need water. And then Christ, of course, gives us living water. So you're about to perish in eternal damnation. And then Christ gives you the living water. And then you got eternal life. And the only way to get that living water is, like he told the woman at the well, he's got to, you know, accept him as Savior, as Messiah. So going on, it says, love to Jesus will be manifested in a desire to work as he worked for the blessing and uplifting of humanity. It will lead to love, tenderness, and sympathy toward all the creatures of our Heavenly Father's care. The Savior's life on earth was not a life of ease and devotion to himself, but he toiled with persistent, earnest, untiring effort for the salvation of lost mankind. From the manger to Calvary, he followed the path of self-denial and sought not to be released from arduous tasks, painful travels, and exhausting care and labor. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. This was the one great object of his life. Everything else was secondary and subservient. It was his meat and drink to do the will of God. And that's why he said what he said in regards to, you know, like when the guys came, you know, the apostles came up and he was at the well and the woman just took off, you know, they asked him, because they were buying food. They were only a few miles away, so they went and bought the food, and he waited at the well and because he was going to meet that woman. He knew he was going to meet that woman. And that's why he said what he said, because they all ate, and he didn't eat yet. And he says, I have meat and drink that you don't know about. So it was his meat and his drink to do the will of God and to finish his work. Self and self-interest had no part in his labor. So, those who are the partakers of the grace of Christ will be ready to make any sacrifice that others for whom he died may share the heavenly gift. They will do all they can to make the world better for their stay in it. Okay, because this world, especially now, it's just... And when you look at the, like somebody that could eat, like a person that's poor and that's only needs a couple of bucks to get the electric bill paid or something like that, and you have that couple of bucks, that changes, you know, a person's year, if you will. And it may even change their life. Once you get your foot in the door and you're doing that, you can share Christ. She says, this spirit is the sure outgrowth of a soul truly converted. No sooner does one come to Christ than there is born in his heart a desire to make known to others what a precious friend he has found in Jesus. The saving and sanctifying truth cannot be shut up in his heart. That's why Legion did what he did. That's why the woman at the well did what she did. That's why every single solitary one of us did what we did. And because I can remember the first time that I shared my faith with others, you know, it was just... And I was about as green could be. I didn't even have any shoots on me. You know, I was just a little twig coming out of the ground. I didn't even have any wheat, nothing, not even a single kernel. But I wanted to tell somebody what just happened. So I called my wife, my first, and, you know, my my soulmate, if you will. And then after that, I called my ma, and let her know what happened. And but the nice thing is I, you know, when I called Fran, it was... nice to hear that she was in the midst of praying for me when it all went down. And so the Lord was already moving her, and I was, it was Aurora. Yes, it was about, I don't know, 150, 200 miles away. I, you know, you all heard the story. I mean, I just, got hired by Metropolitan, and they wanted to teach product knowledge to me and every other agent that just got hired, even though I had already been in the business for years, but I was a new agent for them. And so they set me up, and it's a place that they would do like a school for 10 straight days, and you're away from home for 10 days. And that's when I found Christ. And I was, you know, all by myself. And because everybody went home when the weekend came, and so it went from a Monday to a Monday, or a Tuesday to a Tuesday or something like that, because on Saturday and Sunday, everybody just went home and with the family, and then we'd come back and finish out Monday and Tuesday. I couldn't do that. My car was in the shop, and the guy that hired me literally drove me to this place, and it was a couple-hour drive. And so anyone go pick me up and bring me back, and then bring me back again, and then pick me up again. And so I stayed there, and I had time to contemplate, and I had already been searching and searching. It was the end of the 18 months. You know, it was right at the end of those 18 months when I had tried to clean up my act, and I was trying to do it my own way, and it wasn't working. And then I started asking those questions, and the rest is his story. So anyway, she goes on to say, if we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ and are filled with the joy of his indwelling spirit, we shall not be able to hold our peace. Amen to that. So if we have tasted and seen the Lord is good, we shall have something to tell. Like Philip, when he found the Savior, we shall invite others into his presence. We shall see. I mean, think about that. Could you imagine being alive 2,000 years ago, and all of a sudden, everybody knows the timing of Messiah, so they were assuming when he came, he would also. I mean, they got the date correct. They got the event wrong, though, just like what happened in 1844. And what I mean by that is it was the timing for Messiah to appear, but they thought he was going to appear with muscles and guns, you know, and just take out Rome. But no, he was not going to, you know, free them from the bondage of Rome. He was going to free them from the bondage of sin. But Satan had to put his twist on it to prevent everything from going down the way he, you know, the way it was prophesied to go down. And so, but praise the Lord, the truth that Jesus shares during those years that he was walking among us is so powerful that 2,000 years later, people are still being blessed by it. And even in the midst of all that hatred that Satan was pushing forth. So don't let it bother you. I mean, like Fran and I, when we left the Catholic Church, the hate began. And from right away, it was my family. Her family didn't really care much either way because they weren't devout. But, yeah, my family was pretty mean for many, many years. And then all our friends disappeared. And I praise God for that because, you know, it made it easier. You know, although I probably would have walked away from them had they showed up anyway. And, but yeah, it's been a constant uphill battle. And then when we got online, the hate got off the chart. Death threats, all of it. I mean, it's just part of being a Christian. And so, because the enemy of souls is scared, you're a threat. And so if you share your faith with somebody, he's going to do everything he can to stop it. And we knew that going in, and so we just figured, okay, this is somehow going to teach us. And it did. It gets to the point now when the attack comes, it's like, it's not that big of a deal anymore. It really, you know, because we've seen so many attacks. Because my biggest issue about the attacks when they came for the online church was the babes. You know, the babes in Christ. That's the only thing I was always worried about. And I still am. I'm still very concerned. I will protect the pulpit with my last breath if I have to. But what I've noticed over the years, all the attacks, the babes that are serious aren't going to fall for the lies of the wicked, the people that step out of our number and step out badly, and then they declare us a cult or whatever, you know, stuff like that, just because they have to vindicate themselves for the sinful things that they have, the sinful decisions they're making. So they have to make us look bad so they look make themselves look better. And that's just always how it's been for 6,000 years. But the Lord revealed to me years ago that, well, if you notice, first of all, when a person leaves, the Lord replaces them with two or three, or even 10, it depends, you know. And when they leave and they try to pull people out, again, let's say they pull a person out, and then the Lord puts another one in. And so the numbers never really went down. They kept going up. And we're not in it with the numbers. We don't want quantity. We want quality of brethren. You know, we're not, because, you know, we're not one of those kind of churches where, you know, we're going to be passing the plate and that's the only way the pastor is going to make any money is to have a big, 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 big church. Nah, it's stupid. You're putting faith in mankind there. We don't do that. And so we've seen it. We've seen the attacks, and you are all going to see this too. If you stand firm in Christ, especially in the days ahead when we're going to have the loud cry, the duty of the loud cry with the latter rain upon us. Yeah, they're going to be coming out of the woodwork. But then at this point too, like Sister White said in another book, the fear of relatives is going to be gone. Those of us in our number now that are kind of clamming up because they don't want to upset their spouse, or those that are clamming up because they don't want to accept their parents or upset their siblings, yeah, it's going to be gone. It's just going to disappear, and it will disappear. We've seen it. Many of you have seen it, especially some of the young guys. I'm not going to mention any names, but you saw it happen too. And that's another thing, how the Lord keeps sending young people. And their parents get all up in their face. But that doesn't stop them, because there is a real seed planted in real soil, and you can't change that. Okay, fine, it may clam up a little bit, but all of a sudden, bam, it's just like when that latter rain falls. All fear. I mean, it even says in there, it's just like when Sister White asked, what caused the change? And then the angel told her it was the latter rain, the refreshing from the Lord. They didn't care what their relatives said now. Like even the spouse is saying, threatening to divorce. Well, okay, see ya. You know, I'm sorry, I'm as much as I love you, but I love Jesus more. And that's kind of like what we were saying early on when we were getting attacked by Catholics and SDAs and stuff like that. Look, as much as we love you, we would wish that you stay in the number. We love Jesus more. We got to follow him. And so, again, don't let it bother you. I mean, look at not so much John the Baptist, but Noah. There's a good example, Noah. All the people he preached to, all he saw in the ark was his wife and kids. That was it. But there were some people that did help him, and we're going to make it home, and that, you know, because but they died before the flood, because the Lord knew they couldn't handle the boat, I guess, or the ark. It's just like many are going to start dying in the coming days in regards to, you know, with martyrdom, because they can't handle the plagues. Doesn't mean they're going to hell. No, they just get to take a nap. They don't have to go through all that, which is a blessing as well. Martyrdom is a blessing. So, going on, she says, we shall seek to present to them the attractions of Christ and the unseen realities of the world to come. There will be an intensity of desire to follow in the path that Jesus trod. There will be an earnest longing that those around us may behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the effort, and that's another thing too. This is something now, and I love the way the Lord does this, because if I didn't have the experience, it would be hard to explain it. But I have seen how, and even before I had the experience, you look into things like Fox's Book of Martyrs and stuff like that, and you see the history of the Catholic Church killing hundreds of millions of Christians. Fox's book, the original book, I don't know if they've edited it or nothing like that, but the original book said 500 million Christians were killed by the Vatican between the years 538 and 1798. And so you saw the people standing firm, but at the same time you saw how the Vatican went from killing people in the town square, like burning them at the stake or something, to killing them slowly in dungeons, because they realized that every time we killed a Christian in this village or that village or this village, 10 more popped up, because you can't read hearts. None of us can read hearts. Only our Lord, Savior, and King can read hearts, and his Father, of course. And, of course, if you got the Holy Spirit within, well, he's residing in the hearts, so he's pretty much reading everything. And so, but, yeah, they can't read the hearts, and so they don't know. Like when Huss was singing as he's burning alive, that all sorts of people go, I want to meet his Jesus. And that's an experience that I had. Not that I was seeing anybody burn at the stake, but I've seen people affected in a major way when I was trying to find, like, when I was considering Christianity and considering, well, I always knew of Christianity, my basic understanding of it, of course, but I wanted to get closer to him. I don't want to see his hand move, and I never really saw any movements of his hand, you know, when I was very, very young. And but then I started seeing movements of his hand in other people, and I wanted that. I says, okay, look, I've been talking to him for years, and you know, I want that, you know, because it wasn't there for me yet. And so you don't know, like the way you respond to an attack, like all of a sudden you have this major problem in life, and your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife sees it happen, or your kids, you sees it happen, And they realize that you're calm, cool, and collected. I mean, it doesn't bother you. I says, where do you get that kind of peace from? And that's what I was seeing with this one guy that was looking at heavy time behind bars and stuff like that. I says, man. And I know he was scared to go to jail. But at the same time, he certainly didn't show it. He didn't, you know, he showed his faith as best he could. And I wanted to meet that Jesus. I wanted to meet that kind of a Jesus. I wanted to see him. I wanted to, you know. And so that's what's going to happen with us. We have to be able to reflect Jesus perfectly, not just in word and deed. You know, you can have a smile on your face when they expect a frown, because the days are coming. I mean, we're all being watched like hawks. You know that, right? The Seventh-day Adventist leaders know all about this church family. They know all about us, especially those of us that preach. They know a lot about us. And I just found that out recently, that they have been watching us. And not in a good way, though. not that they're going to do anything to us, because they really can't. We have a God. They don't. But it's just that they hate. They have hatred. Just like you see in Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7, especially when you get towards the 11th hour, where they got all upset when people started getting the money that you know, they were supposed to get for working all day. And then the people at the 11th hour got the same money as the people that worked all day long. And that's why you see the SDA is getting all upset with us, because they worked all the way since 1876, I think it was, right, to present day, but yet we're getting all these amazing blessings, and we've only been around for what? I would say officially 10 years, but, you know, we were there, I would say, about 20 years. I think we've been around about 20 years, but something major happened in 2012, and so I'm just saying officially 10 years. But yeah, so I wanted to praise his name on that, of course. And that's another reason, too, that we're getting, and you know, the people that are of the world are starting to ask questions. And what amazes me, too, with some of the questions is they're not asking their pastors these questions, or they have asked their pastors these questions that I'm getting, and they can get a good answer. And so it's starting to happen. And soon the rain is going to fall where you're not going to have any doubt whatsoever. You don't say, well, where is it happening here? Where is it? No, you're going to know. It's just going to be so blunt. You're not going to have any doubt whatsoever. And so going on, she says, in the effort to bless others, we'll react in blessings upon ourselves. Again, and the effort to bless others will react in blessings upon ourselves. That always reminds me of the phone call that I had with John and Mary. Okay, that's their real names. I'm not going to say their last name. This was years and years ago. That was our first chat room. And I was talking to them, and I've shared this with you all many times, but we have new, you know, brethren. And so I wanted to share it. But after I, you know, it was a husband and wife. I don't like that. That's always been my policy. I don't want to do the he said, she said thing. So if a husband and wife have issues, I don't want to talk to the wife and then talk to the husband, then talk to the wife. Because a five-minute conversation could take weeks if you do it that way. And so I had them both on the phone. And after we got done, they go, thank you for sharing what you shared. We needed to hear that. And it just blurted out. Says, yeah, I needed to hear it too. And they go, well, you're the one that said it. What do you mean? It says, well, the Holy Spirit speaks. It kind of takes your tongue over. And, you know, and I needed to hear it too, because I, you know, Sean knows about this, Eli knows about this, Alvin knows about this, and Lawrence knows about this, any of us that preach, or any of you that are in here that evangelize on the street or on the phone or wherever, you know, sometimes you're saying stuff like, where did that come from? That's the Holy Spirit. You're being tested, and you're passing. You're speaking, and he's speaking through you. And so she says the effort to bless others will react in blessings upon ourselves. And so that's what I told them. Somebody must be here. Somebody's probably pulling in. That's what you're hearing, is a driveway bell. Either that or a bunch of birds, because a lot of times the birds will do that too. They keep landing on that thing and flying around it and eating all the bugs in the lawn. I don't know what's happening here. But anyway, because I don't see anybody in the driveway. So, going on, it says, this was the purpose of God in giving us a part to act in the plan of redemption. Oh, it is somebody backing up really, really slowly. So, now we don't, like, whenever I order things, I always tell them, don't, I always say, no, If they say it's going to be here Saturday, says, no, push it off to Monday or Tuesday. I'm not in that big a hurry for whatever you're like. And like if I'm ordering something for technology or whatever, or somebody's in our driveway. I don't know who it is because I'm only seeing the back end. I can't see the whole thing. So she goes on to say that this was the purpose of God in giving us a part to act in the plan of redemption. He has granted men the privilege of becoming partakers of the divine nature, and in their turn, of diffusing blessings to their fellow men. This is the highest honor, the greatest joy, that it is possible for God to bestow upon men. Those who thus become participants in labors of love are brought nearest to the Creator. So if you want to have that really amazing relationship with Jesus and get as close as you possibly can, it's not, I mean, okay, fine, you got to study the Bible daily. We all know that part. Amen and amen. But you have to really, really share your faith with others, because that blesses you just as much as it blesses them. And the day that I blurted it out to John and Mary, you know, I mean, I've noticed it beforehand and stuff like that, no doubt, but it was just, it had to be said. And so I guess that's why the Lord had me blurt that out that day, to where it had to be said. Because this is true. Sharing your faith bolsters your faith. It makes even more, and it's part of the Great Commission. What did Jesus say as he was ascending above, right? Go out and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? He says, go out and tell all the people. He's telling this to them as he's ascending right in front of them. And that's the last thing he decided to say in physical form, right? So that must mean a lot, right? He didn't do anything without a good reason, right? He always had a reason to do what he did. And so for that to be, it's just kind of like, now it's not a deathbed confession because he's not dying. He's ascending back to New Jerusalem, right? But it's so important. That's why I bring up the deathbed, you know, thing. That's the last time they're going to see him physically. And he says that's the thing, that's the last thing he wants to tell them. That's how important it is. Go out and share your faith, especially now. Because there's going to be a lot of people out there. It's going to be sad if you think about it, too. And it's like Sister Hannah was talking about in her praise earlier, how it's not easy to deal with the guilt. Like, say you wanted to give someone a track and you should have given them a track, and you pray and you ask the Lord to give you an opportunity to get back and talk to them again. And sure enough, he gives you the opportunity because it's important to share your faith, because Jesus Christ is amazing. You know, he's just so amazing that that we have to share our faith with as many as we possibly can, so that they could see the joy, they can experience the joy that we experience. I just noticed the clock here. So we're going to stop here. God might have committed the message of gospel and all the work of loving. Okay, they're leaving now, so. Heavenly. Okay, all right. So we'll pick it up next week right here at the... So we can have our little time of fellowship here. So let me fix this on here so that next week we'll pick it up on... I don't think I got a lot of pages in. Two pages, yeah, page 89. And so, and for those of you that like, you know, reading from the Spirit of Prophecy, we do this on Friday nights, by the way, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm reading from Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1. Okay, and there's a reason the Lord's been having us share a lot of the Spirit of Prophecy lately. We haven't given up on Scripture, please. You know, like when I write sermons, it's still going to be like 90% Scripture and 10% Ellen White. But I think that's the wise way of doing it, because especially on the street, you can't use Sister White on the street. They're going to go, who? They don't know, you know. But when you share Scripture, most people already know what you're talking about. Even though most of them hate it, they still know what you're talking about. And so I hope and pray that you were blessed. If you can please get on your knees, I want to close out so that in about 25 minutes or so from now, Brother Sean's going to step up with the 4 o'clock. And, so please, if you can kneel. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this Sabbath. It's just always so amazing on Testimony Sabbath, all the blessings that you have bestowed upon your people. Thank you so much for giving us that which we need day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, and even moment by moment, within a couple seconds sometimes. Thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, Father. There are so many precious, dear and precious souls there that are just not ready for what's coming, and they think they are. I mean, it's just so sad what's going on that, especially with all these bogus Bibles out there, they don't even know what they're reading is not truth. It's been changed. It's been altered. The defiled bread prophecy is absolute. They really don't know what they're reading. And so thank you for giving us an opportunity and giving them an opportunity, too, to go deeper into the Scripture. And so we can evangelize them, and then you can evangelize them as well. And thank you for blessing everyone that's doing the work around the world with a strong hedge of angels and keeping them safe. And thank you so much for those that are on the prayer list, too, that need healings. Many of us are not doing well, and we need your hand upon us. And so thank you for that, too. And Father, most of all, we thank you for our salvation and the joy and the peace that comes with it. And it's only possible that we have this salvation due to your Son, our Savior, our King for all of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.